Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Last of Us podcast, episode 19. We're going to be discussing episode 4 in depth, very much in depth. So stay tuned, stay tuned. Welcome, welcome, welcome. That's right. Please hold to my hand as a few very interesting secrets to dive into. Please hold to my hand and Endure and Survive us sort of this pair of episodes, you know, aka the it's Sam. Like, it Henry is lovely, but it's I keep feeling for Sam. So, but it is the Henry and Sam episodes. And but yeah, so I am your host, Albert Kessa. This is this wonderful, fun, and engaging ongoing kind of chronicle that we have here on the Topic Network with the Last of Us podcast. And the very first one we did actually was back in 2018, and just with the HBO show, we're definitely ramping things up. So I said 19, it's actually episode 20. Sorry about that. So I'll just bring up my little shared screen here. But yes, we've been going episode by episode, doing after shows, but we have these lovely patrons, good chums of mine. Anyone who joins the Topic Network tends to become a good chum. Become a good chum. There's a tagline. And we've been diving through, and thanks to them, we're actually doing after shows and deep dives. So you can see this is the one that we're recording literally in this exact moment. May as well log on. And anyone who chimes in the comments, first of all, we have a thing throughout the recording of like star of the chat. So whoever is like vibing the most and is the raddest in the chat, I just end up putting you in the description, which always ends up being a lovely fun time. Because who knows if it's like, even without joining the show or becoming a patron, I can like just add you to those kind of details that people tend to check. You know, if they're wanting to follow up on the podcast, maybe, you know, make some more discoveries with some of the, like, references and links we drop. So you can be part of that as well. So this is what we're literally recording right now. And very shortly, we may have some of our lovely patron saints, aka patron peeps, joining us. We'll see. If not, we'll just crack on and do a lovely solo show. There's never any expectation on the Topic Network, for sure. Right. Well, what I'll do is I will bring up what I'm now calling, it's my bookmark for it, is the, if I go here, it says the Last of Us picture book. You can see that here. And it's, again, every single week that number of photos goes up, and we're currently at a basically 600 of them. And it seemingly you can, yeah, just check them all sort of in this sort of format here, but you can also go just pure gallery mode, and it is just episode by episode, which is very, very handy for us going through and coming through and discussing the show, passing through the details. But the reason why it's going to be good to dive into this one today, as well as there was the disruption of pleasant disruption. I mean, there were some great trailers, but yeah, the Super Bowl decided to do its thing, and we didn't anticipate it, and so we ended up putting forward these recordings until later. But it gave me some time to kind of think about how to lay them out, and thinking about, yeah, things going ahead with the whole network. So ended up being something this is what you should do. You should just always turn these pivots into something where there's like an opportunity. So, but yes. This is like, it's really something that we use the IMDb here as a reference point, because then we can dive in, even chime in with people. We don't have Pro yet. I did experiment with Pro, but maybe even like down the line, like live on the show, you know, chime in and send through like, hey, Anna Torv, hey, Lamar Johnson, let's bring you onto the show. Stuff like that. We've had Danielle Basuti from God of War, who plays Freya. She's been on the show twice, the God of War podcast, which is also on the Topic Network. And yeah, there's a lovely kinship there of her also understanding the differences between like television and interactive. But what we're going to be seeing, especially with this cast, that is now apparently, I mean, I'll bring up the IGN article. It should be trending or in the front line or like in the headlines. There was something here about it doing better than House of the Dragon. I mean, FanFest is really taking over this one. But if I go House of the Dragon, The Last of Us, it should pop up. So, stronger debut than House of the Dragon, has slain House of the Dragon. Thank you, Giant Freaking Robot, for the clicktastic. Streamed 837 million minutes, beating out the House of the Dragon's 741 million minutes. Breaking records on its small run so far. And it's funny because there's a connection there with the, you know, Game of Thrones, with both Bella and Pedro being Game of Thronesites in their past. So, yeah, so, and it's posted onto the subreddit as well, the Last of Us HBO series subreddit. So, yeah. I actually heartily recommend people to just quickly log on and like give you a review of The Last of Us, because I've really enjoyed reading those reviews. And I think a lot of people who follow the Topic Network are like super discerning, just from my experience, really, you know, getting people to really join their voices. And that's kind of what the Topic Network is about anyway, is everyone sort of piling in together and kind of, yeah, what is it like communicating the voice of the people. So yeah, really handy feature, top left. You just kind of go and you can see all the different episodes. It's crazy how we're almost, gosh, like near the end. 9 episodes just has that beautiful kind of limited series sort of prestige feel, which makes me very, very happy. And yeah, so please hold to my hand. Which is crazy that it got 8.4, but and this is odd because 8, long, long time. What's that? That should be a 10. And yeah, I can tell probably there's some close-minded review bombing for that one, which is so ridiculous. But yes, so please hold to my hand the deep dive on the Topic Podcast Network's The Last of Us podcast. So we discussed it on last episode with Comic Man Andy, and Whitney and Jamsey, who are all phenomenal Topic Network, you know, people, peeps, chums. And it was actually, I'll bring up the thing where it's important to bring up the thing to recognize that they are like part of this amazing kind of growing group of kindred people that just makes me so proud and happy to be a part of. So, but yes, we have there we go, add some background. We have a number of wonderful, big, worthwhile, up and coming like after shows kind of series coming up. It's not contained here. This is just for Andrew Smallwood, Comic Man Andy, John Jereza, Franco Ripple, Whitney Fishback, Douglas Feld, Robin Ruby, Legion of Comics, and Twin Peaks Cafe, all of whom are making the Topic Network possible. They will all be joining me throughout this year with, you know, True Detective after shows, Mandalorian's after shows, Ahsoka, and then eventually Skeleton Crew. So huge year for Star Wars. Big year for Disney as well. We'll talk about The Little Mermaid film that's going to be coming out, and all kind of building up to sort of Dune and Aquaman and stuff like that. So shouts out. I have this slide here. I'll like here and there bring it up, and why not? It's a rad time that we're having over at patreon.com/topicnetwork, and it would be lovely for all of you to chime in. Also, people in the comments, hello, feel free to chime in with your thoughts on Please Hold to My Hand in that sort of in-depth kind of sense. The reason why is because in Please Hold My Hand is the origin of this build-up to what we'll be experiencing in Kin, which is, you know, there's a huge measure of innocence lost for both of them. Because the thing is, life doesn't stop at like the death of one person in terms of like, oh, innocence has been popped and that's it. You can go certainly numb, but every subsequent thing like a death or an intense kind of thing happening in your life, like that just, it adds and adds. And to see two brothers, you know, like one try to attack, then one have to kill them and then kill themselves, it's just, it is very intense. So yeah, obviously spoilers for the episode's been out for a while, but spoilers for episode 5 there. So we'll dive into some trivia here. So the joke book that Ellie reads from, no pun intended, Volume 2 by Will Livingston, is exactly the same as one as the one she uses from the video game. Outside of combat, Ellie would take out the book and read jokes out loud in much the same way she does in this episode, with similar exasperated reactions from Joel. Some of the jokes in the show are even the exact same ones heard in the game, such as the envelope joke, the scarecrow joke, and the diarrhea joke. Which is always fun. I quite like that. I've been visiting IMDb since like 2002. I actually have like fond memories of like visiting the site. There's like, I think Nightmare Before Christmas was like the first one that I ever watched. And I remember like, and then Psychonauts, I just couldn't believe there was this like eclectic resource of a somewhere where I could go to learn about all my favorite things. And I just have memories of like eating food, chilled out, like nooked up. It's my phrase for like having a blanket or something or whatever, and like reading. IMDb trivia, IMDb facts, IMDb quotes. I remember laughing a whole lot at the Psychonauts one. So we have a Double Fine podcast as well, for those who enjoy Psychonauts. So Psychonauts, another great animated series that should happen for sure. In this episode, Kansas City replaces Pittsburgh as seen in the game. Craig Mazin found the production locations in Canada more closely imitated Kansas City and felt Pittsburgh was not important enough to the story to justify the difficulty in manufacturing it. And co-creator Neil Druckmann considered it a superficial change as the characters are more important than the location. He and Mazin felt the additional distance to Kansas City justified the story beats and character development. So really rad there. I should be saying I found that interesting, right? Just to kind of contribute, make sure to sign in, folks. It's a time. A time is to be had, especially with later in the year. I think Comic-Con does really well, and IMDb and Comic-Con do really well in sort of, integrating with each other. And was it like the Kevin Smith Comic-Con boat or something that they do every year? Pretty cool. Maybe they'll do some variation of that for like Severance, which we're also doing post shows for, or Succession. It's going to be a fun time. August 26th. Perry, one of Kathleen's men, played by Jeffrey Pierce, who gave his voice and motion capture to Tommy, which is true. The character of Kathleen is not present in the video game when it was created in order to give the villain a face. Craig Mazin found Joel's decision to allow Ellie to use a gun demonstrated his trust in her and considered it the most father-daughter moment they've had yet. I agree. Joel and Ellie are walking, and the camera pans down to a pile of corpses burnt to the point where they're unrecognizable. Clickers are weak against fire, so these people were killed by uninfected, most likely the rebels that serve as the threat for this week's episode. It's a visual that the video games use a lot to warn the player that they're entering a dangerous settlement and to keep their guard up. The show does the same thing. I think it was stated in the episode that it was the government who killed them, because they, you know, it's better to kill people that you can't accommodate, because as in the QZs, because then you don't have to worry about them becoming infected. So very, very heavy stuff. Craig Mazin compared Kathleen to Madame Defarge from Charles Dickens's A Tale of Two Cities, 1859, a revolutionary who becomes terroristic due to cruel circumstances, which allows the audience to empathize. Mazin, who was a friend, who friends with Melanie Lynskey, who plays Kathleen, reached out to her about the role, describing her as a war criminal. She was initially hesitant until Mazin pitched more about the character, describing her as someone who was forced into a role after the death of her brother, who was basically Jesus. Mazin and Druckmann felt her casting was unusual, as she had a sweetness that conflicts with Kathleen's position in the episode, an intentional decision to intrigue the audience. Lynskey wanted to play the character as soft-spoken and delicate to juxtapose her violence. She felt Kathleen was likely less intense prior to her brother's death, but was forced to become hardened due to her circumstances. So Lynskey, neighbors with us, New Zealander, rad, very, very tense. And another one, just like with Bill and Frank, where you're like, oh, they had such a short time on the show, but damn, did they leave an impact. And I want to say my word for that is abundance mindset, which is they are prepared. HBO, Craig Mazin, Neil Druckmann are prepared to give characters that could, in some sense, in another timeline, have their own show, but within just an episode or two. Same with Sam and Henry. And that's abundance mindset. That's developing a character so much that you truly were gutted and impacted by them, and it hit you, and the work was done. Like, the work of acting and finding the character and gravitas and all of that was put on screen to a degree where you could feasibly spin that off into like exploring more of Kathleen, or so that nothing feels caricatured or on the surface level. So yeah, thank you. Hello to the people joining. Feel free to chime in with your comments and thoughts about this episode. I'll bring up what I'm reading here. So Joel is seen making coffee at the beginning of the episode. In the game, it is implied that coffee is no longer available or that it's a luxury, which will explain that he got it from Bill's house during the last episode. Little thing, but a tiny little bit of detail, which we love the show for. Again, maybe not to chuff us, but maybe if you hadn't visited this page or heard this podcast or whatever, you may not have known just that touch about the coffee. So yes, Joel, and that's entirely in credit to the HBO team with their levels of detail. So Joel and Ellie being ambushed by the hunters is very similar to the original game. The scene starts with a man pretending to be injured, which Ellie believes, but Joel sees through. Joel tells Ellie to put a seatbelt on before the ambushers try to stop their car. So this one's a fairly well-known one, but I'll still give them the up. So Craig Mazin enjoyed the use of Ellie's joke book in the game and felt its inclusion series allowed effective development. Yep. Very good. Joel needs to help Ellie crawl through a small window. That one, very much straight from the game. Very much so, yeah. Joel explains his brief history to Ellie, stating that if she wants to get some sleep, now is the time. Ellie says that she is not even tired before a match cut skips to Ellie being fast asleep directly from the game. So, love that. Lotte Kestner's cover of New Order's True Faith plays over the closing credits. Ashley Johnson's version of the song, sung in character as Ellie and inspired by Kestner's version, was used in the trailer. Love that integration between the series and the game. You know, so intimate. And let me also say that either extreme never works. Like, leaning too far into being familiar to the game and sort of trying to tick those boxes, you know, those fan servicey things, or completely shedding the game entirely, neither of those work. So there's a beautiful balanced weaving in and honoring of the game without it actually being on the forefront. I mean, a lot of people are just encountering The Last of Us as is, and I love, and I'll use Kimmel's pronunciation, The Last of Us. Like, I love that, you know. So hello to the four people watching, you are amazing, welcome. In the game, many doors, and feel free to comment, you're amazing, join the party. Come join us, Topic Network. Fun times. In the game, many doors and openings. And yeah, if you find, like, as I'm commenting along, you have thoughts about what I'm reading, please chime in. I think that'll be really cool. We can have a little back and forth. In the game, many doors and openings are blocked by filing cabinets of some sort that Ellie or Joel have to push out of the way in order to enter specific rooms. Yep, that's reflected. Lone and Forsaken plays at the beginning of the episode. And also in the first teaser, which was very effective, really, really got to me. And it got to Ray as well when we were watching. So Joel is shown gradually bonding with Ellie when he shows her how to use a gun properly. Chastises Ellie initially for shooting the hunter before eventually apologizing in his own way, by showing her how to use a rifle. And again, I just want to say the concatenation of the loss of innocence was in very, very briefly removed from each other, you know, in a very short span, excuse me. Ellie has killed someone or helped in killing someone, and I know that. I love how Joel like clings to that. At one point he's like, well, it's not like you killed him, I killed him, but you know, it's always tough the first time, blah. And it's just that sweet kind of dadism of like, don't worry, it's not so bad, you didn't mess up, it's okay. All of these patterns and behaviors could just be playing out in like a normal show. Like, you take Pedro and they would do phenomenally in it, and I would be just as intrigued if you think about it, you know, if it weren't a genre kind of thing. And I hate that thing of like separating things like the Guillermo del Toro's and The Last of Us is into their own genre. It's like, just talk about the thing. But anyway, as far as we still function within that terminology and way of phrasing things, and you know, within that, then I will say that it's a very effective, and you strip away the clicker, strip away the post-apocalypse, it would still be so fascinating to see this dad kind of relearn to become a dad in a way. So Very interesting little fact. I think let's do this. I love the little gold highlight as well. If I find it something that I can riff off of, I'll give it the like. Otherwise, let's be a bit more aristocratic and like, you know, maybe I'll be more choosy with who I choose to upload. I'm kidding, kidding. So in the attic of the building, Kathleen finds multiple drawings and pieces of art that were drawn by Sam, the younger of the two brothers. These drawings reference Sam's game personality, who still shows childlike tendencies, such as playing with toys found throughout the game, whereas Ellie is portrayed as much more mature. Yeah, I found that pretty good. The Sam's story of his superhero and all of that mythos and being cut short is... that's going to be rough as we go into talking and the next. So, by the way, I figured I'd explain, and I'll go to this. Oh, where you go? Hey, Whitney, fantastic. Hey, hello. Good to see you. How long?
Good to see you.
How long were you? How long were you waiting for? You weren't waiting for too long, right?
Not too long. No.
Okay, good. So everybody, we're going to go Whitney Cam.
Hi.
Whitney Cam, solo Cam. How are you, love? Looking after yourself?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Living my best life. We're having a great time with the peeps over on in the chat, the four people. So it's a great time. Yeah.
Aww, had yay. To
yay. And this wonderful feature of IMDb to go through the, you know, because the deep dives, right? As we talked about, and that's you guys, credit to you over on the Patreon. You guys over here, the Patreon, which I love to just randomly bring up. Just hanging out over on Patreon. It's a fun time. But yes, if you want to do what Whitney just did, join us. It's a vibe. It really is. I've added the little kind of like amount of shows there, but I tend to just vibe it out anyway. So even if you're a gem and you've already had your three shows per month, if I'm feeling it, it's like, oh, come on. You know, it's stuff like that. So, so yes. But yes, we were indeed. So what I was just riffing with in the chat, I guess, to people. And I love how they're just watching. They're not commenting. That's okay. But you can, and we love you. That when you pass through, as we're doing, with essentially a week's worth of the world sitting with Whitney, like sitting with the episode, oh my God, is it enriching? Like we've been going through, and there was like this bit, I don't know if you saw it, but Kathleen being based on like Madame Defarge from Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah. And it sort of explains how Melanie got hired and stuff. So you might be like, well, this is like two episodes ago. This is episode four. We're on the eve of episode six in a few hours, I guess, for some people. But the reason I'm grouping everything together, not just because of the Super Bowl, but realistically, Whitney, it's because that way we can fully like kind of follow that, you know, that the thing that eventually popped at the end of five and which is going to inform a lot of six, which mm-hmm. is that loss of innocence, right? For Ellie and Joel, like you thought there was moments with Sam and Henry where there was even Joel was starting to kind of uncrust himself from his ways, and that had been happening with him anyway. But like when he looked at Henry, he's like, oh, I recognize you, another protector. And oh, I see you're bringing Sam. And he has like, you can come with us to Kansas, you know?
Yeah.
And then when that was robbed from him, I mean, that's when he had just, cause he spends his, and Ellie too, to some degree. And in that world, you spend so much of your time behind the wall. You just don't want to let emotion in. And he had just let it down. And as soon as he let it down, Henry kills Sam and kills himself.
Yeah.
And so they are hurting a lot. So exploring Please Hold to My Hand right through going into this detail, then we'll do essentially a spiritual after show for Endurance Survive right after this, as you know. But yeah, because we talked about it last week and you were here. But so, yeah, any sort of ruminations you've had about Please Hold to My Hand, this like build up episode, this prelude to Endurance Survive that you've had over the past week, Whitney?
Yeah, I think I mostly loved the bonding moments that we got to see with Joel and Ellie. Mm-hmm. I think for me, that's one of the elements of The Last of Us that is so special, especially in like part one, like in the game, like you want to get to that relationship that they ultimately do have. So it was nice to kind of see that building. and Joel still being very like closed off, but like opening up just a little bit. I really loved the joke book.
Yeah,
that's a good one. One of my favorites. I was like, oh my gosh, had such a fangirl moment. It was just, it was so sweet and so good.
For sure. No, I agree. And what's good is another thing that we avail ourselves of, and we create, Whitney, we're actually creating part of like the history of the show. Like we're adding to the chronicle of like, as this show came out, which is already proving itself, by the way, Whitney, to be a history making show. You know, it surpassed House of the Dragon in viewership.
I heard, right? Yes.
So I actually can't even really deal with that right now. In the best way, you know, so.
And it's I don't know if we talked about it, but like, it's cool to hear people just talk about The Last of Us, especially outside of the gaming community. Like I had a friend who messaged me and had never played the game, but was like, this show is a masterpiece. And they had just watched, they just watched the Bill and Frank episode. And they were telling me how much they were crying and how much they loved it. Like, it's just so special. And it's so nice to hear people appreciating it that even didn't play the game, and to hear it coming out of people's mouths, it's like makes me so excited.
Absolutely. This one here, for example, is from like, again, Tumblr continues to be a wonderful source of art.
I love that.
And that's Pedro's Joel and Ellie, and just seeing how much Pedro's Joel and Bella's Ellie are just coexisting. There's no, again, we, you know, because we are naturally drama averse people, we don't really immerse into the discussion, if there even is one. That's why I'm not even aware if there even is one of being annoyed at these two versions, simultaneous versions of Last of Us existing. But I just love it. I think there's so far lots of harmony, you know, involved. So Neil and Craig are going to get a Switchblade tattoo apparently, because
I heard.
Yeah.
It's like, join the party, please. Last of Us tattoos.
That's right. Look at these two badasses. I might put that as a post later. And that's what basically until 12 when I'll jump off, then you'll jump back on, I'm sure. Can you join for the one that's we're about to record right after this one for Endurance Survive?
I'll see. Yeah.
Excellent. And just continuously beautiful, amazing fan art, which makes me very happy. Beautiful. Let us continue. I'll bring it over here, and we had made our way up essentially like halfway through. We were just talking about Sam's kind of attic kind of sanctuary, and I was saying earlier, Whitney, and maybe people just joining us, it's bears repeating, is with the creators of HBO's Last of Us and just The Last of Us, there's a what I call, and Ray helped me introduce me to this term, there's a difference between scarcity mindset and abundance mindset, and they put, and just to take Kathleen for example, like an entire solo, like Kathleen, like the show, like that much worth of character development and gravitas and a sense of there being a lived history there, for her to only appear in two episodes. And that's the same with Sam and Henry, because there's a lot of people saying like the way that I felt watching Sam and Henry, I could easily have just wanted to start watching the Sam and Henry show, like easily. I want to see their journey and how they made it. And, you know, so what do you think of series that do that, who have that sense of abundance to them, instead of basically doing cut out characters or caricatured characters that have a sense of like, oh, they'll only be around for two episodes, so we won't bother to do character development. So what do you think of how the HBO's The Last of Us and The Last of Us in general have done that with series?
I think it's incredible. I think it really enriches the experience for the viewer. It makes you really care about all of the characters and seeing more of their story. I just think what they've done over there with the show has been incredible. It continues to blow my mind every week how how real this world feels. And you feel like there were moments in episode 5 where I was literally like on the edge of my seat because I felt so scared for Sam and Henry.
Yeah, me too.
And Joel and Ellie.
Yeah. It's painful. It's in its own way. I mean, we all know it's a show, but the idea that we don't get to see Sam and Henry come to Kansas with them and join them, yeah. Like so many like people fell in love with them, and as did I. So Kayvon and Lamar, amazing.
I think too, one, like, right? Not to interrupt you, but I'm also ahead, like an empath, so it doesn't. It takes me like. Hey John.
Sorry to bring you on.
It takes me like 2 seconds. John Kim.
I made it.
What's up? He did. Thank you. And it is just a super chill. Imagine like a bayou, like shack. That's what the TPN is. Yes. Topic Network is like, it's so mellow. You can rock up, then leave whenever you want. It's fine. But Ben, how does the day find you?
It's going good, you man. Did. I gotta admit, I lost track of time because. I was completely aware of when the episode was going to start, but we all got lost in Hogwarts, as has been the goings on lately.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And yeah. We have the Wizarding World podcast, which, by the way, thank you, mate. So I'm going to bring up now, this is right here. I can't zoom in, but yes. He's over right there. John Jereza, right here. Jamsy Dodger, what a gem. I'm honestly at the point where the Topic Network is just people hanging out and just having fun and building this thing, which, you know, one of our,
yeah,
it is. And Robin, just to give you an idea, and this might be something down the line where Whitney, John, I might need your help with stuff later, whatever, is so Robin is actually, she's helping us with the Avatar podcast TikTok. So there's a pathway that when you join up, there's a not just a vibe where you just riff and hang out and stuff for like the whole year. And this will be 2024, 2025, all that. But there's a sense that, exactly. So, you know, John's music that we talked about last episode, like, and Whitney, like, we're waiting. We want to just find out more about Whitney, you know? And so there's a great opportunity.
Every week
to signal boost and amplify what we're all doing together. So it's very much more of that kind of a vibe than just like, join a Patreon, get a product. It's like, you get hope. My humble opinion is you get like a whole bunch more, and it's just hanging out and being very vibey. So,
yes,
good vibes, as you can see.
We love it.
Indiana Jones
for sure.
I can't wait for you guys. Can I an early commitment? Let's do it on stream handshake. Early commitment to talk on the Indiana Jones podcast. Yes,
excellent. Oh yeah, yeah.
Let's I'm do in. It.
Very good, done. I'm gonna cut to this later in an edit, and both of you will be unavailable that day. I'm kidding. But yes,
I'm kidding. It's all ammunition.
I'm kidding. So Johnny boy, we were just going through.
Yes, sir.
This episode, please hold to my hand as this, not just because of the Super Bowl. What we've found out is that it has become so worthwhile. There were things like the tiny little details, just to kind of wrap things up in the next, I don't know, 30 minutes or so before we do start talking about, you know, Endurance Survive, stuff like this. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Joel is seen making coffee at the beginning of the episode. In the game, it's implied that coffee is not available because it's a luxury, which explains why he's using it, because he got it from Bill's house. So it's a tiny little detail, tiny. Mm-hmm. But it's just what we do here is we kind of really go granular and like, highlight and showcase those little things that one set decorator thought of, and we do want to bring set decorators on as guests later so you guys can talk to them and stuff. So we get high visibility and stuff, you guys are the people who I want to like be on the same call with as, I don't know, creature designers or musicians or producers or whatever. So that's kind of what Topic Network's about, is connecting communities and creators. So
like we were also like we were watching the episode and at some point we were actually thinking, like, I don't know if you remember this, Whitney, we were talking about how accurate the creature design was. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. if you studied any sort of film design or sort of any in like any sort of field in that area, you'd have little bits and bobs to point out of like that was totally prosthetics, or like I can totally tell that there was a mask that you put on. But like for the most part, it was a very good depiction of what a lot of people thought was going to fall through, because very few people were picking out sources of like this is what kind of real life prosthetic production you could actually turn these clickers and bloaters into. And then the show just knocked it out of the park, way more than any of us could have ever expected. So I was actually on Twitter a few days later when posts of the show start or the, of the episodes started coming up, and there were these behind the scenes shots of the bloater himself, because it was like a I think a 6'6" stuntman from the UK who was putting on this giant suit that must, I think they said it weighed like 40 pounds or
Oh my
something.
gosh.
It was unreal. And then like there was a side-by-side picture of one of them, of him. It was like a Instagram pic. He's this dude is ripped, and like he's a
Yeah,
giant
crazy.
wearing a bloater suit. And then they were just talking like in the behind the episode at the end of it that there were real people in there. It wasn't all CGI, it wasn't all just made from a computer. And you think if you think those two clickers in episode two were something,
Oh,
we were not prepared for what that. I know that's in
no.
episode five and we're talking about episode four, but we can't ever
No, that's
not
cool.
point
That's
that
cool.
out, because you know it's a big highlight.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
It
the
is indeed. And why not? Yeah, go ahead,
infected
Whitney.
has been incredible. Like, it makes me so giddy.
No, yeah. They absolutely nailed it. I was just bringing up a few things. So I have here the inside of the episode, which is really handy. Then I actually want to shout out, we'll go almost like name by name, because why not? The VFX of The Last of Us. So look how many people. It's not just Wade.
Incredible.
So Alex Wang, shouts out to you. Framestore, Assembly, Important Looking Pirates, which is an amazing name for a VFX studio.
Yes,
They're important pirates. They're
They are
important
the most
ones.
important.
The
Exactly.
most.
Indeed. Oh, this is some amazing Dina art as well.
The
But yeah, so inside the
art.
episode, let's see. I'll keep it on low vol and we can just see what they have to say about this one. Because we're literally diving deep. May as well create the chronicle. Might
Compulsion
as
to
well.
dominate.
At the end of the third episode, we saw Joel and Ellie leaving in Bill's car, and for the first time, you got a sense that they were a team. And the team carries through into the fourth episode. There's an uneasy truce, but they're not necessarily anything more than, as he says, cargo.
Joel, did you know diarrhea is hereditary?
What?
Yeah. It runs in your genes. Joel secretly loves Ellie's humor and her jokes and her puns. He pretends he doesn't, but he does. I think that means a lot to Ellie that he does actually find it funny. I don't think she ever worries about annoying him. She kind of loves him.
It's best face ever.
We decided to deviate a bit from the game. In the game, they made their way to Pittsburgh. So in looking around at possible places, we landed on Kansas City because it just felt like it was a good match for sort of what we had and where we were to shoot in Calgary.
I had an idea about which episodes that I was going to have to get my head around quite early on. There was a breakdown of various action sequences in episode four, and thank God I had such an extraordinary team to help me.
Please help!
Put your seatbelt on.
Are we gonna help him?
No.
It's quite a fun day. It's just crashing cars. That's why we got into this business.
Ellie witnessed Joel being violent at the end of the first episode. And this is a moment where, when they're under attack, Ellie has to trust Joel.
You see that hole? When I say go, you crawl to that wall and you squeeze through and you don't come out until I say.
He is this protector, he is this this violent man. He's going to take care of her. But what she encounters very quickly is how ugly that violence is. He is attacked by someone else who is going to kill him. And Ellie, who has found a gun, walks out and saves Joel through an act of violence. And Ellie is confronted by the horror of what she did and what she's capable of. Joel has an
I'll just mention something here. And again, it's all just about like whatever the material makes us want to maybe riff about. The jump that she does, you know, when she shoots the guy is just the best. Because, you know, Bella, she knows the take. She's probably done many takes. But the authenticity of that, like, surprise where I almost felt like the severity of like killing someone was almost offset by that innocent, like, I've just, you know, something just sort of, I dropped a pan or something or whatever, like, or a loud door or something. And it was just incredible. So, yeah. So no, just Bella. I guess I can't with this woman. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That wince, it's just crazy. So I had to. Also, Johnny, I muted you because you've got a fizz in the background. So I'm just muting you whenever. That's cool. Don't worry about it. It's all good, baby.
I think I know what it is. It's I can take care of it. Don't worry.
Let's make John feel super uncomfortable while he does his fixing of his technical. I'm kidding.
I'm gonna have to go off screen. So this is like on the spot. Like we're doing it live.
It's all good. We're doing it live. Do it live. Okay, cool. All right, well, I'll just...
I think we're good.
You're good? We still have a little bit of a fizz, but don't worry about it. It's fine. Should be fine.
It's a lot better than before, though, I think.
Very good, very good. Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
Joel has an opportunity to comfort her. He doesn't. And you can see how quickly Ellie just wipes those tears away and pretends nothing happened at all because she's just like him.
This was another thing that we discussed early on. How do we personify this group? Because in the game they were just an obstacle. How do we give them a face? And here it would be interesting if they were more than an obstacle, they'd feel like people with a real goal.
Another thing I need to stop and talk about is, and again this is a bit more of a kind of companion discussion that we're having to the two episodes, because they are, it's just two episodes, you know, it's the Sam and Henry episodes, sadly, which a lot of people are very sad about. But when I saw the truck, I immediately want to share this. Which is, have you seen this? This is...
No, I haven't. Wow. So
this is from... Also, the comments are fantastic. Oh my God. This is also great to kind of create a historical record of these. Look at this. Oh my God. Look at that.
Already. I don't know how people make this stuff, but it's so mind-blowing, like, ever since I first discovered it.
This is shattering, Whitney. What the hell? I know we're building up to talking about it, but just when I saw the truck with the word "run," I just thought of this this work here that was done. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, just stunning stuff.
People's talent. I can't.
It's unfair. We should be angry. We shouldn't praise them. We should be angry every time. We should just be.
Why can't we do that? Like, it's just not
how we... motivation. Exactly.
Humanity. So with the character of Kathleen, we get to see that she's this ruthless leader, and she clearly has the respect of this group that managed to take down a quarantine zone.
Find who did this. Find every collaborator and kill them all.
In the gaming world, playing Tommy was one of the unexpected joys of my career. So to be a part of that world again and see it come to life three-dimensionally is really exciting. Perry.
I was about to just keep it letting playing, but there's a little tiny thing here with Jeffrey. And I'll unmute you guys again. I think, Whitney, the fuzz might be on your side. It's a little fuzzy.
Is it me?
It's just a little fizz. It's just weird. It's not like episode ruining, but it's just like, what are you going to do? It's one of those things. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Is it raining outside? That could be it.
I don't think so.
Okay. We're going to play this on slow-mo, and this is for Jeffrey when he joins the show, if he's watching this. So we see you. You're in the middle of a take, right? Or maybe it's a rehearsal take. I'll go slow-mo, and I'll zoom in. So he's being amazing. Look, serious man. And then look, he just looks.
That's so great. Cheeky.
He's just like, I'm serious acting man in the HBO series. But then he's like, wait, if only
wandering eyes.
Yeah, come on. Get this zooming happening. All right, there it is. We good? There it is. And then the little smile.
That's great.
All right, that's just for you, Jeffrey, if you ever, you know, watch this or, you know, we see you. We see what you're about. All right, let's keep playing and then we'll move on. Okay, and then we'll obviously play it at like the normal speed because we don't want people talking like Darth Vader or whatever. All right.
Or we can.
We can, maybe. Ooh, let's go mute.
Really exciting. Perry and Kathleen, they're new characters. Kathleen is the leader of the resistance, and because of Perry's past in the military, he is willing to follow her lead.
Kathleen is a tough woman. She's a very principled woman, but she definitely has a dark side.
Heavy.
When there is a dramatic shift in power from a repressive regime being overthrown by a revolutionary force, history is full of examples where the revolutionary force is just as bad as what was there before.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Melanie Lynskey, we have that embodied.
I love humanizing villains. And so much of The Last of Us is about people that have to make choices.
Joel!
And whether they're heroes or villains really depends on your perspective.
All right. Now, that last bit made me think HBO, baby. It's not cinema. It's not TV. It's HBO. They really ran into something with that tagline. I thought of how much Last of Us was like more HBO than HBO, like how it was just waiting for this. It was so perfect for HBO to be the ones who are doing this, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I remember it kind of makes me feel like old school HBO because I used to, you know, like be so into the network, not just because it was what was popular at the time, like, and we're talking like 20 odd years ago, that I was just stuck. Like, I remember making, you know, video VHS recordings because that was a thing in the world for a time. Like, they had all kinds of shows, like even full live concerts. Like, I remember recording a whole Backstreet Boys concert on VHS. From HBO, and like it had that feel about it, and I just think that the show sort of it took me back to those days, because like there was a time when I didn't watch it for a while, but it definitely felt nostalgic from the very start of the show. Yeah,
I feel exactly the same way. There's a sense that you know, after the Game of Thrones situation happened, which I believe is the true. If we were going to say a before and after of HBO, there was, I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb here, a weird wood trim tree limb here. But with Game of Thrones, it represented a chink in HBO's armor, you know, or and it's like kind of a black mark, just how the latter seasons, which we don't have to dive into on this one. At least we'll jump on the House of the Dragon podcast next year. It'll be great. You guys looking forward to that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
God. Hey, Whitney, are you a House of the Dragon person?
It's on my list.
Okay, shame camera, let's go. But this shame camera is actually also love camera. It actually lets us love on the person that I do the camera for, because it makes us realize that we need to be better and watch House of the Dragon. Whitney.
Yes. Okay. All right. I need to be better.
No, you're fine. It's all good. Actually, speaking of be better, Amazon, God of War, right, there's gonna be the series. I'm really stoked about that, which is 2027 or something. We'll be gathered here, we'll do
Can
you believe that? The first episode of like
it's
gonna be trippy with like Rings of Power budget. Insane. This is okay, because as we're wrapping things up on this, like we're gonna close the book on Please Hold to My Hand until we rewatch it for whatever reason down the line on the Topic Network. This is one of those tiny little details, which, you know, there's a famous one from Jurassic Park, which is how did they make the ripple effect for the T-Rex? And it's they strung a guitar string. Do you know, you might not know this, but yeah, they took a guitar string and they fed it through the Jeep and just under the surface
of the
dashboard where the cup was, and then they plucked that string, and that's how you created the perfect.
No way!
If you didn't know that, I thought it was a super well known one.
But I didn't. That's such really Jurassic cool. Park note.
We're also going to talk about the Jurassic Park live action series, which is going to take my major inspiration from Last of Us. I think as soon as Last of Us started doing what it was doing, swap those clickers out for raptors.
Dude, wow. Yes.
Amazing.
Because the success of the monster is in the scarcity. It's actually perfect for budget because you're spending less money on crazy VFX and it's more effective narratively because you see less of it, and it would just be so perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I think it also speaks real quickly to the storytelling style with Neil and Craig, because we mentioned last week, even with the music, how the way Gustavo constructs, the way he supports the story without saying a single word, and he doesn't use like tons of layers or anything too complex. It's really simple, but it's tasty and effective.
Damn right. I loved too in the show where there'll be like a scene and then you'll just hear those notes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, every That's time great. I'm like, Gustavo, I hear you. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, banjo.
I've put feelers out for Gustavo. He's very reclusive, but that's the vibe. And obviously, John, you'll be on that one. And
of course.
For sure. So in the vein of that Jurassic Park lovely kind of thing they did off stage to create that effect. So for the scene of Ellie testing her gun in the mirror, a hole was added to the ceiling for natural sunlight. Cinematographer Evan Bolter wanted to illuminate Ellie without it being too perfect. So I really like that.
Amazing.
So awesome. In the opening travel montage, a reference to the biggest game change can be found in the episode. In the game, Joel and Ellie encounter the hunters in Pittsburgh, which has changed to Kansas City. And during the montage, they cross over a bridge that is identical to the one that Joel, Ellie, Henry, and Sam cross in Pittsburgh section. That's deep cut. Like, would not have noticed that. Wow.
Yeah, very.
Let's have a look. One point, the song Cordyceps can be heard, a song written and composed by Mac Quayle from the sequel video game, The Last of Us Part 2. Interesting. Just the earliest. And it's funny because Last of Us Part 2 also has, is it the LF? What are they called? Abby's WLF. And
WLF.
Definitely got WLF vibes from.
Absolutely. From these
guys. Yeah.
And Kathleen's. Sure.
People. I can't wait to talk about episode 6 because I have some thoughts to connect.
Wait a second. Hold on a minute. Episode 6, you've already seen it?
Oh, 5. Sorry.
Then I have to leave because
I got an exclusive.
You from the future, game. Whitney? Because take us there.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us all about it.
Oh, gosh.
Have I become a better human being? Can you just confirm that? I'm always trying to. Okay, but there you go. Yeah, so no, you're the best. You guys are the best. The love is real.
No, you're the best.
Love fest. If only I had sound bites, then we could like have some kind of like dance break or something.
Like, yeah, we're gonna toss it to you a lot more this time. Don't think we didn't notice.
Oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. The love. Topic Network, everybody. Whenever I want to just hide, I just bring this up. Topic Network. It's all about these guys.
It really is.
Nope. Nope. It's just about finding a platform. That's why I've named it so, if you want to call it generically, it's almost like algorithm suicide, but I don't care. It's just the thing. So, and there are even other shows who have called themselves the thing, but because I am like dead set locked in for this for life, like I'm gonna do this when I'm just 80 or whatever. The idea is to become known as it's the risk reward of taking that definite article is you can, for one, like melt into the SEO and no one ever finds you because you don't have like a quote unquote unique name. Even our network name is like super just describing the thing, which is the Topic Network. However, if you're persistent enough, then that's really what I want to pay dividends later is like Whitney Fishback, John Jereza, where like like their whole SEO, whatever, is tied in with the version of this, like the destination for discussion on this topic. Because then you guys get that prestige around your names. Anyone who joins as well, you get that sort of connection of, you know, the thing. And if there's excitement in that for you, I obviously plan on making it more and more worth, you know, Whitney's and John's while, worth you guys' while over the years. But what I really want to prove to you guys, and this is to prospective people joining, is that this thing works. Because I want to turn to you guys in November and say, like, yo, we're at like 100 patrons now, and we're watching you, and we're having fun. And you guys are like the founders in a way, because you're like the first 9 people, right? So had to be said. I'm so patrons, right?
Every time I see, I like look at how many patrons there are. I get so excited.
Makes me
I'm
so
like, there's 8. There's 9.
Yeah, I know. It's so fun. And welcome to Douglas, who just joined us. The silent right. Douglas.
Yeah.
He is a ninja. He has appeared on the Patreon but hasn't chimed in yet. And you can do. Please be a ninja if you want to. There's no pressure at all. Whitney and John are just very convivial. We know that Whitney is a Hufflepuff now. Thank you. And John, how about yourself?
I'm also Hufflepuff.
And hence the lovely. And I'm Raven, but I'm like Ravenpuff, you know, like I have.
Yeah.
That's a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I'm like Huffledore. So yeah. Huffledore.
Oh, I dig it. And do you have a spliced version, Whitney? Are you something? Are you a Hufflerin, like Slytherin, Hufflepuff? Slytherpuff.
Hufflerin. I like that. Cool. We'll say yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We're so close to the end of the show. Let's pick one of these. I told you we'd run out of time, but yeah. So go over to the IMDb Amazing Trivia thing. Let's spin the wheel and let's see. Okay. The scene where Ellie gives Joel the cassette tape and looks through the magazine happens directly after they leave Bill's house. This scene plays exactly the same as the game. Only difference is Hank Williams, Alone and Forsaken, plays later in the game when they're ambushed. This is just like people who are proud to have written, like, this is what actually happened. So, in the game, Ellie does not use a gun until much later in the story. When she does, she kills the person she shoots. I love the little nod again to part 2 with that cordyceps sting. You know, I'll have to watch the episode again to get it again, but it hints at, like, you know, these kids having to grow up early because of this kind of crazy death and intenseness. So there's that. But guys, did you enjoy this, like, final, for the time being, closing of the book on Please Hold to My Hand? Did you have fun?
Absolutely.
I had way too much fun. I wish it didn't end, but we got to continue. So
funny, because we're literally continuing in like 3 minutes. So
yeah,
as you can see,
the Last of Us party.
How dare, so we had 387, someone left. How dare you? How dare you? So that's us
recording. We're going to Accio you right back.
Shame.
Do it. I love doing this because I love Inception. Here we go, you ready?
Streamception.
Literally, as I keep going, it's going to start doing its thing. So as we Inception out of this episode, let me just say once again, Whitney and John are the best. No, I'm kidding. I won't keep it on.
Albert, you're the best.
You're the best.
No, we have... I'll just deny it. No, I'm not. We are republishing... these beautiful, such as near and dear to my heart, The Order podcast. You'll start seeing some new thumbnails right here. Exploring the grounds. I played 15 straight hours of Hogwarts Legacy on stream, and I'm still, gonna figure out how to bring you guys with me. I think simply like just joining my PlayStation party where you can comment on my gameplay. That can be a podcast episode. Because that's how I did it. So we're very close to figuring that out. But folks, 11:59, we're going to jump off. And I'm going to bring these two right back on. We're going to talk about, right there, Endure and Survive. Take it easy, everybody. Until next time, very soon. Bye for now. See you guys in a few.